From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
Succulents. You probably already grow some perennial ones in your garden, and perhaps others that aren't hardy are among your favorite houseplants. But what if some of those indoor types started playing seasonal roles in the garden too? That's what Harnik Singh, a longtime gardener at Wave Hill in New York City, has been thinking about and experimenting with lately to some pretty stunning effect. It helps if you have a spare garden area to experiment in like they do at Wave Hill, where what's called the paisley bed, because it's shaped like a giant paisley, is planted in a whole new theme each year. This year, until sometime in October, it's all about succulents, and the design includes many of the plants in the cacti and succulents collection that Harnik cares for in Wave Hill's conservatory, just one part of his overall horticultural role there. He's here to recommend some favorite succulents for indoors and outdoors and give us some tips on how to grow them and use them, and even which ones are easy to propagate more of. So welcome, Harnik. Thanks for joining me today on this summery day in the garden.
Hi, Margaret. Well, thank you for having me on this show.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of nice that I'm getting a little break from gardening. You know, it's hot.
I know it's hot there today while we're recording.
I'm delighted.
So, wow, the paisley bed, I've seen many of its designs over the years at Wave Hill, but this is quite distinctive. So before we talk about the succulent version that you've done this year, tell us a little bit about some other recent beds, paisley beds, and about this idea of having this bare area that can be something different every year.
Yeah, so it's a small section that is right in front of the visitor center at Wave Hill. So we actually, you know, we planted with the usually spring bulbs in the winter or in the fall. So then after those bulbs are taken out, we usually grow something just for the season. So in the past, we have done it with vegetables multiple times, actually. That's mm-hmm. what it was last year. And we have done it with just foliage. So that will be like coleus or alternanthras or some other things that have like kind of seasonal effect with the foliage. Sometimes just easy to grow annuals from seeds, just, you know, throwing a bunch of seeds in there and see sort of how they go through the season. So it has done different ways in the past.
Yeah.
So I did it once before, about like 10 years ago. That time I tried to make a little sort of knot garden. Just really simple. So this was my second try on paisley bed. So we decided to do with the succulent house.
Yeah, and now you make it sound, you know, you said just vegetables or just foliage, but it's always spectacular because even if it's, quote, just vegetables, it's so beautifully designed. And we could say it's just succulents, but boy, what you've done in this paisley-shaped bed, and I believe it's all around it is a little piece of lawn, yeah? So it's cut into a piece of lawn. You've made almost this mosaic of these sculptural geometric plants in this bed. It's pretty stunning. So how did you get the idea to bring some of the succulents from the collection outside?
I have been kind of taking care of succulent collection here for quite some time, more than 10 years. And I also, actually, as a hobby gardener, I was fascinated by symmetry of some of the succulents like agaves or echeverias. I just kind of, you know, aeoniums. Yeah. I would always say like, oh, who needs flowers when you have those kind of beautiful shapes? So so since I was doing this for years and using like plants outside in the garden in like smaller scale, like a container or like just few plants that are planted in the ground. So over the time, we have like quite a few things that were just, you know, grown for growing here and there. So we had like a lot of plants that we thought, oh, we need to, you know, use them because we have been tending them for like many, many years. So that was kind of, that's how the whole thing started. I said, oh, well, then we decided to take some cuttings of some other easy succulents that we can talk about, like, you know, that anybody can basically do and just grow them in a regular garden setting or in a household setting. So that's how it started. And all the plants that are actually planted this year are pretty much, I will say 95% of them, we grew them in-house. We didn't have to buy much stuff. We did buy a couple of things like dichondra or some other ground cover things that work well with the succulents. But mostly it's like plants from our collection. So that was the exciting part.
You love propagation, do you?
Yes. I mean, like, of course, you know.
Yeah. So within this paisley-shaped big bed, you showed me a sort of overhead picture the other day of its progress report, and it looks like there's some paisley designs within the paisley. Is that the case?
Yes, certainly there are. So it was kind of, I always wanted to make like, you know, paisleys within paisleys. That's what you see when you see like, you know, paisleys sometimes.
Fabrics and so forth, yeah.
The fabrics, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I never had the opportunity, and when it wasn't kind of originally a part of my plan. So when I started laying things out, it just clicked. I said, I had the basic concept. So the way it's planted, you know, plants from the old world are kind of on one side, and the plants from the new world are on the other side, you know, Americas or Africa. So within that kind of a range of plants that we have propagated, it just kind of became kind of natural to have some fun. I will say, like, you know, this, so creating paisleys within paisley was like fun. So there are, the bed is paisley shaped. Then there are, three paisleys within the paisley planting. One is with the large plants. Those are large plants are kind of mixed from like cacti and large euphorbias, agaves, and aloes. Then the smaller sections also, they're like two, like, you know, they're succulent that I call them bedding plants, like any bedding annuals. They're easy to kind of, you know, plant them in mass to create like a nice effect. So there are one paisley with the African plants, and there's one paisley with American plants within this paisley.
Interesting. So, you know, this is not seeing a bedding out scheme, so to speak, you know, a design with non-hardy, mostly non-hardy plants. It's not something you see it with succulents in the northeastern United States very much, is it? Something really different. But it really encourages us to think about, can some of the quote house plants we have inside, some of which are probably succulent, play a role in our garden seasonally? And you've really taken that to the maximum because you have this great collection and you have the ability to propagate and so forth. It really is spectacular. So I wanted to ask you, you know, you've gone and liberated some of the collection, you've let them out for the summer. What are they thinking? What are the plants? How are they responding, some of these plants that grow usually in a greenhouse?
Well, from my experience, you know, like plants during the growing season, like all succulents, they want to be outside. They don't really like being in the greenhouse. Even in a household setting too, if somebody has a sunroom, it does get like hot in places, especially in greenhouses, it gets so hot, and I can't even find enough time to water them. You know, like even, you know, people say, oh, succulents, they don't need water, but they do. And it's like 115 degree in the greenhouse every day.
Oh my.
So over the time when I was bringing plants out, I mean, they were much happier. Still, like I bring the plants out, the ones that I bring them out during the season, just leave them as containers. So they always are much happier than the ones that are left in the greenhouse from our collection. So that was kind of an encouraging part, just to kind of, you know, seeing potential of these plants.
Yeah.
Some of these things, we are growing them as like tiny, the way our greenhouse is, it's a collection. You know, we have like almost like 800 different kind of succulents in tiny little greenhouse. Oof. So it is so hard to kind of, you know, like imagine that what these plants can do if they are given room to grow.
Yeah. So they're growing. Some of them are growing.
Oh, they fell in. It's been only like, it's been a month since the bed bugs planted.
Wow.
Something has like tripled in size.
Wow.
Yeah, even like some of the like things that generally are so unhappy, like Hauwartia's kind of stuff that doesn't grow in the hot weather that much.
Uh-huh.
But when they're planted in the ground, just the air circulation, maybe just the company of, you know, other companion plants, they look so plumpy.
Huh, interesting. So far so good. Not only is it beautiful, but they seem happy too.
Exactly. That's what I will encourage anybody who kind of, you know, collect succulents or have few succulents as a house plants, just, you know, put them to work, you know, when the season comes. And a lot of these are like so easy to take cuttings off as well. And some of them could be used as specimen plants, like agaves or cacti kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, but then there are like a lot of plants that could be easily, you can make like 10 plants out of one plant, even more, and divide some things. One plant could be divided into, like, you know, like
I have a couple of really big Sansevieria. What do they call it? Snake plant or something? Mother-in-law's tongue. Right. You know, a couple of big pots. And if I'm doing a group of pots outside, sometimes that just gives it so much. You know, it can be other annuals from the garden center or whatever, but sometimes you just put those two like sculptural pieces in the mix and it just changes it all, doesn't it, to have something. And those are succulent. I mean, you know, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I have, you know, I love Sansevierias personally. At home, I have a collection of them. You know, like small ones. I mean, some of them get quite big.
Yes.
Like a Sansevieria cylindrica, which is a great house plant for a large scale, but it's also a great centerpiece for any mixed container.
Yes.
So these plants, you know, and they are much happier when they are outside. I mean, these plants, you do have to make sure you kind of acclimate them before you put them in, like change their sort of environment from a greenhouse, from a house, bringing outside. But eventually they are happy. I mean, they can take full sun, even these.
Really?
It depends if you kind of adjust them to.
Gradually, yeah.
Gradually, yes.
Oh, and now you said Cylindrica, the species Cylindrica. Now, is that the one that it does not have the flattened foliage, but it has the foliage that's like cylindrical, like a tube, like a finger, like, do you know what I mean? But it's pointed at the end.
It's round. I mean, it can get pretty thick. I mean, I've seen them like 4 feet tall, probably more some places. So yeah, so then there's a flat leaf one, you know, the Sansevieria grandis, which is one of the widest leaf Sansevieria, which is another really, really beautiful plant. I love that plant. Makes a great house plant and just same good garden plant if planted outside.
So I could probably gradually give mine a little more light and a little more light. I had them in kind of a bright, shady location. You know, I never knew because I'd never really taken them out until the last few years. One thing I will say, I shouldn't say this because it's a downer, but Hardik, what happened last year is we had a fall, in August or September, we had a hailstorm and I had them outside and they got the Cylindricas actually, and they got pitted, you know, by the hail. Like,
yes.
Yeah. I mean, it was, my heart was broken because it doesn't grow back in 2 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah, that's actually, you know, talking about hail. So right after this paisley bed was planted, we had a hailstorm about like within a week.
Oh, no, so, I didn't know that.
It was like, you know, pretty big size hails. And all of those agave attenuata, you know, I call it soft agave.
Mm-hmm.
All of their leaves got a little kind of spots on them with the hail.
Right.
So the weather, you know, there's always a little bit of uncertainty, but being a gardener, you got to take chances.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wanted to get some suggestions. You know, I know you have many rarities and you just said, what is it, 800 plants or something. and even some fussy things in that collection, and probably some that you have to give super careful attention to. But as home gardeners, if we're going to consider adopting more succulents, maybe this fall or whatever, that then we're going to have in, you know, as houseplants and maybe use part-time outside next year, are there a couple of solid performers that you wish people would be alerted to, you know, to adopt? Are some favorites like that that you think are really adaptable as houseplants?
Yeah, so I think I will start with the large plants. You know, then when we are talking about using these succulents kind of outside in the garden.
Yeah.
I usually divide them into like 3-4 categories, like, you know, one, like, you know, your large plants or kind of plants that kind of stand out.
Yeah.
Then I consider a group of plants that I, you know, like mainly use for like texture, like different texture and color. Mm-hmm. Then there are a third group of the plants are kind of small, attractive plants like echeverias or aeoniums kind of stuff. I'm talking about the small aeoniums.
Yes.
So when it comes to like large plants, if somebody want to grow something as a house plant, something that they can bring out and just use it in the garden. So I will start with agave attenuata, which I call a soft agave. It's a great, great plant. As long as it can spend, you know, like 4 or 5 months during the growing season outside.
Okay.
It's a great container plant. Just keep it as a house plant during the cool, you know, colder months, then bring it outside, put it in the garden, anywhere in a container. Then another aloe is Brechtiosa, commonly known as octopus agave, which is another great agave. Doesn't bite, doesn't have, is not as prickly as some other agave. So I'm kind of, for home gardeners, I'm starting with these two that are
okay.
You know, like basically easy to care. I mean, agaves could be vicious.
Would I use artificial light, like my seed starting lights or something like that, to make them happier in the months indoors? Or
well, if you have a south facing window,
okay,
or the west facing window, I think they should be fine.
Okay. Yeah. Just want to ask. Okay.
Yeah, so those it depends on if somebody's keeping these extra plants in the basement or something. Yes, you certainly need some kind of artificial.
So then among the smaller
plants, or the plants that I call them, like for their like shape and color, like there's a euphorbia called Sticks on Fire.
Oh yes,
it gets beautiful bright like orange. It also need to be gold in a cooler weather a little bit to get the best color. Then there are a lot of beautiful Kalanchoes or Clancho, however one wants to say them.
Yes.
Kalanchoe pubescens has a beautiful leaf that like so much fun to touch. Then there's a Kalanchoe called Origallis, which is like rusty sort of brownish leaves. It's a pretty common plant. I mean, it could be and it can get like 2-3 feet tall. So then same with the aeoniums, aeonium arborescens, they get pretty large and have beautiful leaves. So, Euphorbia milia is a good start, which I'm terrible with the common names. Milia is the one that—
Oh yeah, it's the crown of thorns.
Crown of thorns, right.
Yeah.
Especially its variegated form. This is a very good form of it. It's beautiful, beautiful leaf.
Yeah.
So there are plants like that could be easily used as a— they could add texture to any sort of any planting. Then there are small plants that could be used as a sort of fillers or for their color and texture. There's so many echeverias.
Mm-hmm.
So echeverias, you could easily divide them. Like, you know, usually they form like, there's Echeveria prolifica, which like, as its name suggests, which like one plant becomes like 20 plants in one season.
Prolific.
Yes. So there are plants like that. Or when, you know, when people are going shopping for these plants, you know, one should also look for, even the perennials, I look for a plant that I can bring home and divide into like more than one plant right away.
Yes, that's a good point. Yes.
Yeah. So same for these succulents. You know, sometimes you this is Echeveria called tipsy turvy. I think species is Dionaeae, which it also, it's a beautiful plant. Each plant could be like 8 inch wide when it's happy, but also forms like pups readily.
Right.
So if you're buying one plant this season, you guarantee you're going to have like at least 6 plants for the next year's planting.
Right. So, that's a beautiful one. Yeah.
Yeah. So picking plants like that helps.
Okay. And I want to make sure we have time. We don't run out of time to talk about how to make more. And I think you, as you said earlier, you propagated a lot for the bed so that you could have, for the paisley bed, so you could have multiples of some of the things in the collection and grew them, you know, yourself, which was kind of fun. And what are a couple that are really good, easy to take cuttings of? And when do we do that as home gardeners? When do we do that?
So it could be done in the fall or late winter, like February or early March.
Mm-hmm.
If one has like, you know, being in a garden setting, we have all different kind of things. If somebody has those cell pack flats, one could take cuttings and put them in those individual little cells.
Oh.
Just basically leave them alone for like 2 months. And they could be directly planted from those like little cell packs directly into, you know, the garden bed that they want to do with the succulents. So all of the paisley bed planting, basically they were all plants were kept in flats. Nothing was potted in like 4 inch pot.
Okay.
Senecios are great. This is Senecio cylindricus, and which is kind of like a blue chalk plant. They're two different species. Then there is Senecio madrilensis.
Yeah, which, that's a hard one.
Yeah, exactly. Like a tongue twister for me.
Yes.
So then a lot of aeoniums, like especially small aeoniums. There's a variety of aeonium called tricolor,
mm-hmm.
which could, it looks like a small Echeveria, but one could take cuttings off it and to make multiple plants.
So to take a cutting, so you're talking about an aeonium or the Senecio, what am I cutting off? Like if it's something that has like a rosette, so to speak, am I just hoping it makes pups and separating the smaller rosettes, or am I taking pieces of, what am I using as cuttings?
So if the plant is the rosette, which is mostly Echeverias kind of plants, when a rosette is close to the ground, so there you don't have too much chance of taking stem cutting. So those plants has to be grown from the leaf cuttings.
Okay.
Which is a little longer process. So that's why I was emphasizing on the plants that you can divide, certain varieties.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. But when it comes to other plants like Senecios, some aeoniums, euphorbias kind of things, there's some Kalanchoes. So those are the plants that you can take cuttings off.
Okay.
So those are the things that are like usually the multiple stems.
Okay.
Usually your plant gets like laggy by end of the season. It gets like, and that little Senecio cylindricus could be like 2 feet tall. So you can take like, you know, multiple cuttings from that one plant.
From the top of the stems.
Exactly.
Top. Tip cutting, so to speak.
Like, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So not unlike if I have, you know, a coleus that I let grow and it's really a special one and I want to have it again next year in the fall, I may root some fresh stuff from the top. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, you take multiple cuttings from one stem, you know, like one on the top, then another one. Just make sure you remember which side is, you know, you're going to stick in the medium. You don't want to stick them upside down. That will not be good.
But so I can take not just the very tip, but I can take from behind that. Oh, interesting.
Exactly. It's not, I mean, most succulents, they're so translucent, you know, like they're, so they will root.
Wow.
And you have to make sure you're using the right material. I mean, like you want to make sure your soil is porous. You don't water them. You can miss them until they start rooting.
Okay.
So it takes a little bit of time. It takes about like a month at least, you know, during those days when there is not a whole lot light. But now it could, any succulent could root within like 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. That's pretty exciting, actually, the idea that I could make more. Now you see I'm going to be in big trouble, Harnik, because of you.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, that's great. Well, so we should say to people in this last minute, we should just say, obviously, anyone who's never been to Wave Hill, it's in the Riverdale section of the Bronx in New York City, and it's just this incredible public garden, really a special place, an old estate, you know, fantastic views of the Palisades across the river, right across the Hudson River. I mean, it's a must destination. And now there's one other reason to visit, which is this crazy succulent paisley bed that you've made. Yes.
Oh, certainly. Well, you know, Wave Hill, you know, one won't be disappointed even coming here in during the dead winter.
Right.
It's a beautiful place, but during the growing season, it's, you know, it's an escape for so many people. So I encourage everybody to come in and just wander around and, you know, see all kind of gems that we have here.
Well, thanks for giving us yet another reason, Harnik. I'm so glad to talk to you, and I hope I'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Margaret. It was so wonderful talking to you.
And I hope I'll talk to all the rest of you again soon, too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Stitcher or Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com and on Facebook and on Instagram as @awaytogarden. And happy gardening, including with succulents, meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.